This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout today, would you? Amen. Open your Bible today to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We're in a series on how to live in the goodness of God. Living in the goodness of God. Today, you will be empowered. You will be encouraged, and you will be enriched by God's word. The takeaway today is this. I'm going to show you how to overcome worry in your life. Now, it's unnatural for a child of God to worry. Now, it's natural for the world to worry, but when you've got God, you've got hope, right? So it's unnatural for you and I as a child of God to worry. Worry actually is a sin. Worry is doubting God's promises. Worry is unreasonable, it's unnatural, and it's unhealthy. Worry, they've proven it, will give you arthritis in your joints. Worry is destructive. It will cause you to die before your time. And so we've been looking at last weekend and this weekend on, you know, how do we overcome worry? By focusing on the goodness of God. So the goodness of God is defined as God's best. Oh, if you're a note taker, I'd write this down because this is so cool. God's best, God's abundance, God's loving kindness. You know, his mercy is new every morning, right? God's not focusing on our mistakes, so why are you? God's focusing on your potential today. God says that he'll remember our sins and transgressions no more. New day, new mercy, new opportunities. So the goodness of God is God's best. It's God's abundance because, you know, he came to give us life and life more abundantly. It's God's loving kindness. It's the favor of God. Oh, I'm thankful for the favor of God. Aren't you, church? Because favor will take you where you can't go naturally. Favor will open doors that you couldn't open without him. Favor will give you opportunities with people you could have never had an audience with on your own. Favor will do an incredible things. I was talking to Dave Martin, the favor guy, Dave Martin. I was talking to him this week. And, you know, the favor of God, you know, that's what he's known for, teaching on the favor of God. And, you know, the favor of God, that's God's goodness, God's favor. And you heard Kim's prayer, didn't you, over you today at Church on the Rock, that the favor of God was going to shine. And when she was saying that, as a teacher, it rose up in me that psalm that says, it is time, God, for you to favor your people. It's time, isn't it, church? And when God's favor's on your life, you can feel it. When God's favor's on your life, you can feel it. And so the goodness of God is God's best. It's God's abundance. It's God's loving kindness. It's God's favor. And really, many of you went and got the strongest concordance. Good for you. The Bible dictionary, it says it's total prosperity. Now, if you're anti-prosperity, you know, don't have a stroke right now because, you know, we believe at Church on the Rock, we are balanced. We do believe in prosperity, but the whole person. We believe that God wants us to prosper spiritually. God wants you to prosper, you know, physically and be in health. God wants you to prosper in your relationships with your family. God wants peace in your home, joy in your home, happiness in your home. God wants you to prosper on your career. See, your career is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. Your career is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. And God wants you to prosper in both areas, in your calling and in your career. So the goodness of God is total prosperity. Yes, it's material, but it's spiritual and it's physical. What good is it to have all kinds of money, but you don't have enough energy to get out of bed and go to church? You know, so we believe at Church on the Rock, the whole gospel for the whole man. So the goodness of God is God's total prosperity. So we've looked at that, the goodness of God. Now, what you and I want to do is what Kim said today in her prayer. We want to go to a new level in walking in the goodness of the Lord. How do you do that? We answer questions at Church on the Rock. How do you walk in God's best? I'm teaching that on Wednesday nights. How do you walk in God's abundance? How do you experience not condemnation, but God's loving mercy? How do you get God's favor on your calling, what you're made for, and your career, what you're paid for? How do you get the favor of God on your marriage for reconciliation and restoration and your parenting and your children? How do you get prosperity? How do you get a raise? And how do you pay off the credit cards? And how do you position yourself so you can help with the kids project at Church on the Rock? How do you do that? I'm glad you all asked those questions because we're going to answer them. Psalm 27, verse 13. What? What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Don't ever stop believing, family. No matter what you're going through, no matter the disappointments, no matter the delay, no matter how long it might be taking today, what you're believing for, don't stop believing. Because believing God is the answer to all your problems today. Pastor, what do I do? Believe God. Pastor, they don't have an answer for the sickness in my body. What should I do? Believe God. Pastor, I made so many wrong decisions and choices and investments and businesses, and our credit cards are maxed and my school loans. What am I supposed to do? Believe God. Pastor, my husband threatened me that he's going to walk out and leave us, and me and the kids, and we can't support ourselves. What are we going to do? Believe God. Pastor, I need a job. I got a degree. I can't find a job in my career. What am I supposed to do, Pastor? Just sit around? No. Believe God. You see, folks, when we stop walking in faith, God has nothing to work with. Because without faith, it's impossible for God to do anything in our life. Now, the devil wants you and I to give up. He wants you and I to stop believing. He wants you and I to worry. He wants you and I to doubt. He wants you and I to get disgusted, busted, and discouraged. But not at Church on the Rock. You and I respond with the word. Can I have a yes in the house? Because we're not only hearers, we're doers of the word at Church on the Rock. So we respond with the word. That's the first thing out of our mouth is the word of God. So it goes on to say, let's look at the next verse, if we could. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God's good." So number one, if you're a note taker, how do you and I taste of the Lord's goodness? Number one, through our confession. Through our confession. You know, we need to be saying this every day of our life. You know, I believe, I receive, and I thank you for the goodness of the Lord in my life. Father, I believe, I receive your goodness, and I thank you for it. Because you see, folks, God can't do anything into your life till you say it. God can't do anything into my life. God needs permission. Oh, Pastor, he's God. If God could do anything, every seat in every church would be full this morning all over our city. God can't make people go to church. God can't make people live right, do right. God can't make people not be racist, bigots. God can't make people not steal from their job. God can't, you know, God gave us free moral choices. Moral agent, amen. God gave it to you and me. So it's important that we understand then, for God, we can't even get saved without saying it. Right, church? You believe in your heart, you say with your mouth. So you need to prophesy to your future. You need to prophesy to your future. Speak, declare a thing, it will be established. God's light shine on it, and it come to pass. So for God to do it, you got to say it in order for him to do it. Your tongue is like a rudder, it's like a bit, and it gives the direction of your life. So you and I tap into salvation by believing in our heart confessing with our mouth. Colossians 2:6 says, now that you've received him, walk in him the same way. So the same way you got saved is the same way you get out of debt. The same way you got saved is the same way you receive your healing. The same way you got saved is the same way you receive the joy of the Lord. You got to believe it in your heart, and you got to say it with your mouth. So we'll never rise above our confession. Our faith will never be stronger than our confession, because faith comes by hearing, and the best way is hearing ourselves speak the word of God and prophesy. Am I making sense today? Now remember, this isn't going to work if we do it occasionally. Yeah? Because while we do occasionally, the results are only temporary. And I gave you the illustration, like when you go to a gym and you say, man, I want to work out. Well, that's wonderful, but if it's just once a month, you're not going to get great results. Same way with God, if I want huge, mega, epic results, if I want the goodness of the Lord in my life, I've got to start declaring it, confessing it, saying it. I've got to start saying that the goodness of the Lord is following me and mine and my family all the days of my life. I can't do it just once in a while. I can't do it when I just think about it, but I've got to make it a habit. I've got to do it continually. What you do occasionally, go to church once in a while, it won't work. Read my Bible every now and then, it won't work. Tithe every once in a while, it won't work. It's what you and I do. The Bible says, if you continue in his word, then you are his disciples. It's speaking of a habit. So you and I have to make it a daily plan, a daily habit, our confession. Amen. So you and I have to do it every day, make it a habit, if we want lasting results. Amen? So everyone say confession. Okay, so you and I need to say, I'm giving you a takeaway. You and I need to say every day, I believe and I receive and I thank you for, God, your goodness in my life and my family today. And the more you say it, you'll begin to believe it. And what you're believing is what you're receiving. What you're believing is what is following your life all the days of your life. Okay, so let's look at it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good, blessed, happy, fortunate. How many want to be blessed? Yeah, happy. Fortunate means to be favored is the man or the woman who trusts and takes refuge in him. So notice that we're to taste and see that the Lord is good. The other day, a friend of mine was telling me he was talking to Joel Osteen personally, and a TV network came to Joel and said, we'd like to do a virtual, a reality show with your family, you and your family, and Lakewood at Houston. And they said to Joel, we'd like to do this. Will you let us do it? And Joel Osteen said to the producer, and I'm hearing this, he told my friend who's telling me this, he said, no way, because he said, my life is so boring. This is Joel Osteen. He said, I do the same thing at the same time every day of my life. I've got a routine, it's structured, and I live my life by that structure. And he told the producer, you wouldn't want to do a reality show on me and my family in Lakewood in Houston because no one wants it because we're so boring. We do the same thing, same time, every day. It's what you do continually that brings a lasting effect in your life. When we do it occasionally, we won't get the results that we want. Can I have a yes in the house? So number one is confession. Confession, how you and I experience God's best, God's abundance, God's loving kindness, God's favor, and total prosperity in our life. We got to say it before we see it. We got to declare it and decree it so God's light will shine on it and it will happen in your life. We get what we say. Words paint pictures. And we move in the direction of the picture in our mind. Number two is through hearing. You and I tap into, we taste the goodness of the Lord through our hearing. Oh, this is awesome. Look at Job on the overheads, Job 34. Can we shoot that up there? Job 34 and verse 3. Now watch this, folks. This is deep. But there's an analogy here, and it says, for the ear trieth testeth or tasteth words. You taste words with your ear like you taste a McDonald's hamburger with your mouth. Just like in the natural, you taste things with your mouth, in the spiritual realm, you taste things with your spiritual ear. He that hath an ear, let them hear. The Bible says, the scriptures say, take heed what you're hearing and take heed how much of it that you're hearing. So how do you and I taste the goodness of the Lord where it's following us all the days of our life? Number one, through our what? Confession. And number two, through our hearing. Question, what have you been hearing all week long? Secular radio, secular music, talk radio, talk television, virtual reality, Netflix, YouTube. If you make a percentage and a composite of it, what is the most of you've been listening to this week? And that's the results you and I are going to get in our life. So if I want a taste of the Lord's goodness in my life, I'm going to have to start hearing about his goodness from God's word. Yesterday, Kim and I came back from the Iowa State Fair. That's where we're from. Took our grandkids. Went to the Iowa State Fair the last couple of days. We were on our way back yesterday. In the truck, 6.5 hour drive. The whole time, we listened to Kenneth Hagin. The whole time, 6.5 hours. Now, why did I do that? Because I want to taste the Lord's goodness. I want to taste the goodness of God's best, God's abundance, God's loving kindness, God's favor, and total prosperity for me and mine and my family. Am I connecting with you today? If you're really serious, you'll make changes. Kim and I were talking about someone yesterday. Don't come to our church. They don't come to our church at all. They're in another city, but we love them with all of our heart, and they love the Lord. And Kim was saying, you know, Dave, why won't they change? Why won't they see that the God is a good God and that God wants to heal them, bless them, restore them, and that God, their future is greater than their past? Why won't they change? And I said, dear, people only change if they hurt enough, they have to, or they want it bad enough that they'll change. People only change when they hurt bad enough or they want it bad enough. I believe you and I at Church on the Rock, our family here, we want it bad, don't we? We want to go to the next level with the Lord. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a big praise. Amen. So you and I need to be hearing the Word of God, hearing what God's Word says, more of the Word than the world. Now, you know, I'm not an ostrich. I don't have my head in the sand. This afternoon, I'm going to go ride my motorcycle. And you know what? I'll probably listen to Steppenwolf for a little bit. Okay? But I can't have Steppenwolf or Led Zeppelin or the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or B.B. King for 6.5 hours and be anointed up here before you. If you're in, say, I'm in. Okay? So number one is confession. Number two is hearing. And then let's look at number three, Psalm 34, verse 9. Psalm 34 and verse 9. Worship God if, it's conditional, worship God if you want his best. And I'm so proud of y'all, family. You're here today. Those of you watching online, you're not letting it substitute for being here. You're probably on vacation or sick or at work. But I'm so proud of you that you're here today because you're saying, I want God's best. I'm going to worship the Lord on the first day of the week. Can I have a yes in the house? Yeah. So if you want his best, worship God. You can't worship and worry at the same time. So how do you and I live in God's best? Number one, through our confession. Has to be a habit, has to be daily. Number two, through our hearing. Has to be a habit, has to be an addiction, has to be daily. Number three, through refocus. You don't overcome worry by resisting it. You overcome worry by refocusing. Refocusing. You take your eyes off your problems and your worries, and you get your eyes on the Lord and what he has said. And through not resisting, but by refocusing, you can whip worry every time. Oh my goodness. Amen. So it says here, worship God if you want the best. Worship, what does it do? Opens, tell me church, what does it say on the screen? It opens the door to some, little bit, partial, teensy weensy, no, a little pinch. If you want all that God has for you, then you and I are going to have to make worship a habit in our life. Every day of our life, make it a habit. Refocus, refocus, refocus. Get our eyes off our ailment of our body, our weakness. Get our eyes off of our failures, our past. Honor your past, but be committed to your future. Or you and I are going to have to rise above and get our eyes off of what's wrong in the world, what's wrong in life, negative news, negative forecasting, and we're going to have to get our eyes on what thus saith the Lord says. He says in Psalm 23, verse 6, that goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. Family, as your pastor, I want you to live there. I don't want you to rent there. I don't want you to visit there. I want you every day of your life waking up excited about your day, because it's a new day with new favor and new doors to open and new opportunities and new blessing and new prosperity you have never imagined. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. So by refocusing. Now look what it says, worship God if you want the best. Worship opens the door to all his goodness. Amen. You know, like we said the last couple of days, we went to the Iowa State Fair. 300,000 people go to the fair in Missouri, 1 million average every year at the Iowa State Fair. Remember that old movie, the State Fair? That's where they made that old movie, was the Iowa State Fair. It's so fun. It's so great. It's this, that, and it's wonderful. But you know, we got to stay in a hotel. Don't you just love some hotels? And you know, we got to stay in a bed. And you know, I just like my bed. Can anybody relate? Now, I'm thankful I got a bed when I don't have my bed. But you know, we were in a hotel. It was a new hotel. It was like, I don't know, Courtyard Marriott. And we were there. And it was a new hotel. And the beds hadn't been broken in yet. And you know, I didn't sleep very well. And you know, one morning about 3 o'clock, you know, I couldn't get to sleep. And all of a sudden, you know what the devil tried to do? Push worries on me. Oh yeah, budget at the church, this and that and the other, the ministry, the world, all the craziness that's going on, North Korea, politicians, you know, all the craziness, the quarreling, the fighting, the riots. And boy, he just began to try to, you know, come all over me. And you know what I did? I began to, Father, I just thank you. You're a good God. And God, you are for me and my family and our future. God, I just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that we commit our future. We commit our life into you. And you know what? As I began to worship the Lord, I went back to sleep. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Oh, I love this. And verse 6 in the Message. Are you ready to, got your shouting shirt on today? Yeah, are you ready for this? Look at this. Here's what I want you to do. Pastor, what should I do? Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a quiet place. Yeah. You know, for me, like I said, you know, for me, it's my motorcycle. Really, Pastor? Yeah. You know, I wear a helmet and I wear an enclosed helmet. And you know what? I put the thing down and get on my motorcycle and ride through the hills. And it's quiet, you know. I'm all by myself and the Lord. And you know what? It's my quiet place. You know, John Osteen, my pastor, he used to have a chair out in his yard under a tree. And he said, Dave, that's my prayer chair. Dave, that's where I go out every day, make my confessions. He said, that's my prayer chair. You know, whether it's a chair under a tree or riding a motorcycle or on a fishing boat or out in the golf course or whatever. But whatever's quiet for you, you need to, Pastor, what am I going to do? The world stinks and it's all going to hell in a handbasket. No, it's not. No, it's not. You know, God has got the whole world. Yeah, it may look like, you know, it's not over till God says it's over. And he said the latter days will be greater than the former days. He said there's going to come an outpouring of his spirit, and you and I are going to be a part of that. Amen. We're the rapture generation, right? Yeah. So for me, it's on my motorcycle. So this afternoon, I'm giving out 3 services. Oh, my goodness. You know, they tell you 30 minutes of public speaking is 8 hours of physical workout. And, you know, I'm drained. I'm shot. What am I going to do? I better find a quiet place. And I can have Steppenwolf. I can have Led Zeppelin. I can have Aretha Franklin for about 5 minutes, you know, in my little ear thing. But then I better turn it over to worship and praise. Find a quiet place, secluded place, so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. You know, if I want God's goodness, people either change when they hurt bad enough they have to, or they want it bad enough that they will to. And notice, he says, get a quiet place, a place where you won't play games with God. So many people play games with God. And you know, God sees right through it. God's looking for, if I want God's goodness, it's going to take honesty. If I want his best, it's going to take no role playing, no rock star. It's going to take humility, authenticity. It's going to take a flexibility, teachability. I got to stop playing games with God. I got to stop blaming other people, blaming white people, blaming black people, blaming brown people. I got to stop blaming the Democrats or the Republicans. Come on. The whole human race without God is deceitful. Does the Bible say that? Sure it does. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a quiet place, a secluded place where you won't be tempted to play games before God. Just be there. Just get there. Just get there. Oh my goodness. Just show up. Just get there. Just get there. Oh, I love it. Simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus, oh my goodness, didn't Pastor say refocus? Mildred, didn't you hear Pastor say that? Uh-huh, yeah. Didn't you hear him say refocus is how you overcome worry in your life? You get your eyes off your worries and get your eyes on the goodness of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. So it says the focus will shift when you find a quiet place, a secluded place. When you stop playing games, stop playing church, stop trying to be a rock star, blaming other people. When I get real and just show up and say, God, I need you. God, I want more of you. God, I want your best for me and mine. God, I want your goodness. I want your best abundant life. God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm serious, God. I am ready, God. I am ready. Oh, my goodness. So again, he says the focus will what? Shift from you and what's ailing you. Oh, isn't this good, folks? Isn't God's word rich? Oh, my goodness. It'll shift from you to... Nothing's going to happen until there's a shift. Nothing's going to change until there's a shift. Because watch this now. The minute it goes from you and your problems to God, what happens? There's a shift. What happens? There comes a flow. What's the flow? And you will begin, didn't I tell you, you can feel the favor of God? You will begin to sense God's grace. Did you know God has a grace for your worries over money, children, grandchildren, mate, career, school loan, debt cards? Do you know that God's got a grace for migraine headaches to get rid of them, not to live with them? I want to throw that in there because somebody said, no, no, no. His grace is there to deliver you. You don't have to live with that. We don't have to live with less than God's best. But when we, through our confession and through our hearing and through our refocusing, a shift will come. Oh my goodness, as the team comes out, a shift will come and you'll begin to sense a flow, an awakening, a stirring, God's grace, God's strength, a second wind. Something will begin to shake, rattle, and roll, and it won't be Chuck Berry. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And there'll begin to be a flow and a rhythm of God's grace in your life that you will ride to the next level where goodness and mercy will pursue you every day of your life.